listening to New England Public Radio News. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is the shortlist NEPR's Week in Review. Joining us today on the line, Carrie Saldo, host of Connecting Point on WGBY, and Matt Safransky, editor of Western Mass Politics and Insight. Carrie, Matt, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Glad to be here.
This week, Massachusetts Secretary of State Bill Galvin filed legislation looking to make it easier for people to vote this year amid the COVID-19 pandemic. The bill looks to relax the requirements to get mail-in ballots and expands early voting opportunities. Carrie, Galvin warns that time is tight for lawmakers to get something done since ballots need to be printed pretty soon. Can something get done on Beacon Hill quickly?
We hope so. I've been asking that question for a little while now, and I think the best we can do is remain optimistic. And as I've been looking at this issue, I've been thinking about the fact that, you know, the president really has been saying on his Twitter feed that he's concerned about the idea of voter fraud if we go to mail-in ballots. But I think what we have to look at is the facts. The Associated Press is the most recent to report that we don't have the evidence to support that mail-in voting would constitute voter fraud. So I'm hoping that people will take some solace in that, in terms of moving this issue forward, that it's something that needs to be done in the age of COVID-19, and let's get moving.
Matt, some lawmakers want every registered voter in Massachusetts to get a ballot in the mail. What do you think of that idea?
I understand the impulse for that, and certainly we have to be prepared for the logistical issues of having any type of in-person voting. We're going to see that in our region just in a couple of weeks with the special election on May 19th. But I think there is an interesting problem with the fact that in the primary on September 1st, if you're an independent voter, you can vote in the Republican or Democratic primaries. Now, there aren't a lot of Republican races that are usually on the ballot in Massachusetts, but there could be some. And how would you know? And so I understand the impulse to send everybody an absentee ballot application, and then you just send it back and say which, you know, ballot you want. There are some people that are like, well, just send them both. And it's like, well, technically there's, you know, I think also Libertarian and Green parties, you know, have ballots, even though there's really not many races. I mean, this could get very ridiculous very quickly. And so I understand and certainly agree with the public health perspective, but I think we have to be realistic about people don't necessarily, you can't give people every ballot. That's going to create another problem. You're going to see a lot of invalidated ballots, I think, if people try to send in more than one, and it'll just be chaos.
Well, in recent weeks here on the shortlist, we've asked our panelists how they would grade public officials and their performance during the pandemic. Well, the public has given Governor Charlie Baker high marks for his work. A WGBH poll said 84% approved of Baker's response, and a WBUR poll of nurses gave Baker a similar grade, if not a little better. Matt, any surprise Baker is polling so well across Massachusetts?
Not in the least. I mean, I'm not sure he's polling much better than that much more than he was normally. I mean, he's been, you know, almost unbelievably popular in general. I do worry a little bit about this level of popularity, because I think there were some definite failures early on that do need to be looked at. I mean, it's not something we need to deal with right now. We need to get through this crisis right now. But I do think that he deserves praise for putting together the, you know, test and trace program, one of the few states to get on that early. However, there were some problems that I think really did slow down our ability to respond. I think there are problems that continue to explain some of our higher numbers compared to other New England states. And I hope that nobody drops the ball afterwards because they just thought that he did such an amazing job. I mean, you are starting to see criticism of even Andrew Cuomo, and he's pushing back a little bit on it, but he doesn't really have a right to, because there were mistakes made. And we need to make sure that they're looked at, not just to punish people, but so they don't happen again.
Carrie, nurses in Massachusetts and elsewhere have had plenty of complaints about a lack of personal protective equipment. Are you surprised that concern hasn't lessened their support of Baker?
No, not necessarily. I think that the nurses have to protect themselves and their rights. And we've seen also that advocacy on their part, meaning more PPE coming to them from places that you might not see, nail salons, elsewhere, that have noticed that they have these things and move to them. Interesting that poll also showed the disapproval rating for President Trump, which was quite high, not surprising because there's been a lot of criticism of his lack of response at the federal level. But also, when I've been talking to local leaders, most recently Mayor David Narkowitz in Northampton, we saw local leaders like Narkowitz, like Alex Morse, even quicker than the governor on some of these issues, whether it was the non-essential business closures, state of emergencies for these local cities and towns and getting money to them, face coverings. So if you look at it, it's almost like local has been a couple of steps ahead of state, and state in some instances has been laps ahead of the federal government.
Moving along, in Massachusetts, highway officials this week said there was a spike in the rate of motor vehicle fatalities last month. In western Massachusetts, there were four such accidents. Jonathan Gulliver is Massachusetts Highway Administrator.
We've seen some fatalities in Springfield. We've seen some in Northampton. So it's not just in eastern Massachusetts, western Massachusetts. It's really split all over the state. It's a pretty even spread of where we're seeing these problem areas.
Carrie, people speeding on less crowded roadways and distracted driving are two of the things officials are blaming. Any surprise here, given that traffic is down by about half of what it was?
It's completely counterintuitive, right? You think that the traffic has dropped so much, you'd see fewer and fewer accidents. Unfortunately, you know, I have been witness firsthand, given that I'm going into the office most days still, that people are kind of being screwy on the roads, unfortunately. Weaving and bobbing. I remember I was yielding as I should have been, and someone actually cut around me to go and get past me. So, I mean, as someone who loves speed, I've ridden motorcycles my whole life. There's a time and a place for that, and it's certainly not the road. So people just need to kind of take it down a notch.
Matt, officials in Connecticut and Vermont said they're not seeing a similar spike there. What is it about Massachusetts?
Well, I guess it depends on how you view the, I mean, like, for example, Baker didn't formally order everybody to stay home as opposed to have an advisory. I'm not a particular believer in that notion that the advisory versus order language made a difference. I'm sure some people might say that it did. I think also there's been just a different response from the various populations. I think maybe because they were further along in their in the outbreak there, that it felt like a whole statewide issue in Vermont and in Connecticut, whereas Western Mass, you know, in particular, is kind of disconnected a little bit from the problem in Massachusetts. So I think people feel a little bit more liberated to do more, and so as a result, they're being reckless because there isn't the traffic there, otherwise the regular business traffic that's holding them back from going faster.
All right, Matt Szafranski with Western Mass Politics and Insight, and Carrie Saldo with WGBY's Connecting Point. Thanks for being with us today.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And thank you for listening to the Shortlist, NEPR's Week in Review. Remember, you can catch us whenever you'd like at nepr.net/podcast hub or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Adam Frenier, and this is New England Public Radio.